There is nothing that is going to add more confidence to your life than if you could get within your heart the fact that God is with you. No matter how much you mess up, no matter how many missteps you make, no matter how many times you fumble it, God is yet with you. It adds a degree of confidence to your life that's going to make you just a better Christian. I can remember as a young preacher, just starting in the pastorate, and I'm a natural introvert. And I remember the anguish, the anxiety that would come upon me as I waited for worship to end, and it was my time that I'd have to come on stage. There was also always this anxiety that would come upon me. Some of our laity speakers probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And God early in those days began, in that moment of anxiety, I would hear that still small voice speak to me. And he would say, I am with you, and I'm going to use you. And it would build such a confidence in me that I would barrel out to the platform, and I would just pour out myself before the people. But my point is that him letting me know, I'm with you, I am with you, it gave such confidence. It has always been God's will to be with his people. That has always, when he created Adam in the garden, he came back every day to be with Adam and to walk with him in the cool of the day. And when Adam failed and God put Adam out of the garden, God left the garden with Adam and continued to talk to that first family. So no matter how much you mess up, and let's just be honest this morning, all of us mess up. I didn't see any hands raised. I'm going to raise the other one for y'all. All of us mess up. And we get that sense of condemnation, and we feel that sense of unworthiness. Honey, you was never worthy. On a good day, a bad day, you're still not worthy of God's presence, but yet he brings his presence into your life, whether you feel it or not. You have to understand God is with you. Says we go through things. We go through difficulties in this life. Where we go through times that we've made mistakes, we've made missteps, our hearts have been broken. But no matter how broken that heart is, God is expert at binding up the broken heart. He brings his presence into our lives to help us through the greatest difficulties that we encounter. But it's only as we become aware of the fact, he will never leave me. I can't fumble hard enough that God's going to just say, I'm done. Here's something about God. God plays the long game. He's playing the long game with you and I. I can remember as a young Christian, it's before I started pastoring and messed around and backslid. I don't mean just got cool in my heart. I mean backslid all the way out of church. I didn't go to church no more. I mean, it's worse than that. All the way out of church, instead of going to church, I went back to the dope house. But here's what I done found out. You can go to the dope house. You can go to the liquor store. God will go right down beside that liquor. And he'll tell you the whole time, I'm married to a backslider. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's committed to you. Hallelujah. He wants to be with you. And you can have the confidence of knowing that no matter what happens in your life, that Jesus has given us exceeding precious promises. And one of those promises is, I won't leave you. Your husband might leave. Your wife might cut you loose. But Jesus is not going to leave you. He's going to walk with you right through that trial. Now that doesn't mean you won't have trials. You're going to have trials. You're going to have, I've watched people in this ministry walk through some of the most severe tests. I've watched them, they were wobbling all the way, but through it all, God helped them to walk all the way through their trial. And on the other side, they came out with a testimony. See, when you look back at the Bible greats, we've seen this all the way back through the Bible greats. You look at David. David had so much adversity in his life. As a ruddy youth, he had the king of Israel trying to kill him. He was running from cave to gopher hole to the next cave, trying to elude the king. And finally, when he mounted the throne, his own son, Absalom, stole the throne from him. He had many, many problems in his life. He had problems he created with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite. He created his own problems, just like you and I do sometimes. But through it all, there's one thing that David found out. There's one thing that he came into the knowledge of. And he wrote it in one of the Psalms. In fact, in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the shadows of the valley of death, the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil because. See, he grabbed a hold of it. He got this great truth. I'm not going to fear the things that happen in my life because he is with me. He hadn't left me. He hadn't run off and abandoned me. God is the only one that will not abandon you. Put enough pressure on your closest friend, they'll cut you loose. Come on, you put enough pressure on a husband or a spouse, enough pressure, they'll say, that's as far as I can go. But God will go with you all the way as far as is necessary to go. God will never leave you. And if you can get that in your heart, there's two great truths you need to know. Number one is God loves you. As unlovable as you are, he loves you. Number two is he won't leave you. He won't cut you loose. He won't hold it against you. It is an amazing thing. My mind boggles when I think about my own personal testimony, having backslid so badly, 7 years, most of which I was out of church. It's too much. I can't live it. And after he brought me back, he acted as though it never happened. Can you hear what I'm saying? He acted as though I had never cut up. And he'll do the same for you. See, many times we let our own failures prevent us from holding fast to him. We let our own failures, it opens the door to let Satan begin to speak to our minds. You know, he's not really too much thinking about you anymore. You're a second-class citizen in the kingdom now. Sit in the back. You're not as good as anybody else. Listen, Satan will talk to you like that. But you need to counter him with the word of God. I have walked through the valley of the shadows. And I have learned not to fear what man is able to do. He is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who's so great? Who's so powerful that they could cause me to believe that God's no longer with me? Oh, he's with you. Through everything that you go through, no matter how great the heartbreak is, no matter how great the stumble is, no matter how bad you've messed it up. How many would just be honest this morning, say, you know, there's been some times I messed it up bad. Come on, I flipped it upside down and backwards and then twisted it, and it was bad. You know, I think about, I do carpentry every now and again, and you can be hammering a nail into the board and not paying attention, and you hit it crooked and the nail bends. And it's not bent that bad, so you think you can get the angle right and still drive it in, hit it again, and just twist it all up. Sometimes that's what we do in our lives. And sometimes you got it so twisted, you got to pull that nail out and throw it away and get a new nail. But God, again, he's expert at making straight the crooked places. And he won't throw you away. He'll straighten that thing right back out. No matter how many times you failed, no matter how many times you faltered, God is not going to leave you. Here's what it is. When you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, he put you in union with himself. Are you with me? Romans chapter 6. He put you in union with himself. And now that he's in union, he's married to you. And see, God is not, our marriage is a type of the marriage of Christ to his church. And sometimes, again, we foul it up and get divorces, but Jesus don't get divorces. Look at the book of Hosea. He told Hosea, so my people will understand my commitment, I want you to go marry a prostitute. Poor Hosea. He did it. He did it. You got to respect that man. He married her, took her home, took care of her. begin to have children. We don't know if it was Hosea's children or she was just having children. The Bible doesn't say. No, I'm not making that up. It's real. And she went back to the streets. She said, "Out, I'm going back to the streets." And she stayed out there so long, she lost her beauty. Her face began to lose its beauty. Her teeth began to fall out. She started looking ragged, and nobody wanted her anymore. She had to sell herself as a common slave. And when she was on the auction block, Hosea said, I'll purchase her. He used everything he had. He emptied every cupboard in his house. He didn't have much, but everything he had, he put it on the table and said, I'll purchase her back. It was already his wife. Well, that's what Jesus did to you and I. We was on the auction block of sin, and Jesus said, I'll pay, and we'll give heaven's best. The precious blood of the Son of God will give it. I want him back. And that means he's not going to leave you. That means he is 100% committed to you. And that you can't mess it bad enough. You can't mess it up bad enough that God said, I'm done. You don't have that within you. He wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be your God. He wants you to be his people. He wants to have that everyday, daily communion with you. You see, sometimes we stop and we have dedicated prayer. And that's very good. You should have a life that sometime during the day you stop, lay everything aside, and you just spend time with God. That's wonderful. But it's also wonderful when you just walk from your car to your office and you're just talking to God the whole time. Lord, I need you so bad. And it's best that when you swing your feet over the side of the bed, when you get up in the morning, as you're walking to your vanity or to the rest, wherever you go, when you get up, you should already talking to God. Lord, I'm going to need you today. Lord, I'm living in an evil and a wicked, perverse generation, and I'm going to need you to walk with me. Hallelujah. David learned this. He said, I can leap a wall and run through a troop, because he learned, Lord, you're with me. Man, that is wonderful. That gives you strength. That gives you confidence to plow into whatever the challenge is. My God has not forsaken me. When we look at the life of Joshua, Joshua was Moses' gopher. He was just an Egyptian slave. He had no education, he had no credentials, nothing special about him. As a matter of fact, Joshua seemed to be out of step with most of the thought in Israel of that day. When the spies came back from spying out the land, all of them conferred that, man, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua, no, I ain't no grasshopper. We're well able to take this. He was always out of step. And so the mandate is Moses will take the people from Egypt into the promised land. And they get right up to the promised land. And Moses dies. Could you imagine Joshua? He's feeling insecure about himself. What do I know about the great Moses? He was the man that God anointed. What do I know about this? And God immediately came to him and spoke to him. I want to share it with you here in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, right? First beginning of Joshua, verse 5. As Joshua was feeling so unable to fill the boots of Moses, God says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's confidence. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Now, saints, don't just leave that on Joshua's plate. Take some of that off of Joshua's plate and put it on your plate. Amen. These are the precious promises that you and I can hold on to. God goes on in verse 9 and says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, because the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. Hallelujah. You know what? One time he told Abraham, he said, walk out across the land because everywhere you put your foot, that's yours. Just put your foot there and I'll give it to you. See, sometimes we're too timid. Sometimes we're just too timid. We're too scary. But them that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. We that are God's people, we should have the courage of a lion to press forward. Right now, we're in a time that the government, society, the corporate America, all of it is getting ready to come down on Christianity. We're right at the door, and it's time for some people to rise up and say, I will not fear what man is able to do unto me because God is with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look back and see what God did to Pharaoh when he messed with Moses and realized that God watches over his people. Hallelujah. He watches over his people. Now, it doesn't mean to get cocky. It means to be confident. To be confident. And listen carefully to what God is saying. See, Joshua, oh my God, what kind of a promise is this? There shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. When you're old and bent and broken with time, still no man will be able to stand before you. And look what God did for Joshua. There was the city, mighty Jericho. The walls of Jericho were so wide, four chariots could drive across the top of it. It was an impenetrable fortress. And because God was with Joshua, not an arrow was shot, not a sword was swung. But hallelujah, they just gave a shout for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the walls came tumbling down. Praise God. And there was a woman up on that wall who had believed God and put a scarlet thread out of the window. That was Jesus' great, 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 great grandmother. Hallelujah. My Lord. See, we can have confidence in this time of uncertainty. In this time when you just can't tell how much more crazy is it going to get. So I mean, you look at society and say, man, God's getting ready to drop his wrath right on society. I mean, it may be falling right now, but wait a minute. Before it fell on Sodom, God sent an angel. Said, Lot, you God's people, he sent us. Took him by the hand and led him out from under the judgment. And then the judgment fell. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when we read the scriptures, we need to key in on some of these precious, precious promises. They're there to give us strength, to give us courage. If you'll notice at the time that Jesus hung from the cross, death looming in on him, he spoke from the cross seven times. And each time he spoke, it was the word of God. And you and I, if we would focus on the word, if we would draw our strength from the word, it would make us a mighty people. It says here in the book of, oh, this is wonderful, Matthew 28. If you would turn to Matthew 28, Jesus has gone to the cross. He's gone to the grave. He's been resurrected from the grave. He comes back to meet the disciples in a resurrected body. They've touched the nail scars in his hands. They've put their hand in his side. They've validated this is the resurrected Jesus Christ. Verse 18 of chapter 28, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. All of it. Not most of it. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. All power means omnipotence. Omnipotence is given unto me, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore means based on what I just said, this is true. Based on the fact that all power is given unto me, therefore go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, The word lo is like behold. It means put your attention on this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, the end of the world. Now, I want to condense what he said to help you to catch it. In verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me. Then in verse 20, and lo, I'm with you. Okay, you didn't get it. All power, all omnipotence is given unto me, and I'm with you. Now go preach the gospel. Go kick the gates of hell should not prevail. Go kick the gates of hell down and take my gospel to the world. That has been the strength of Christ's unveiled ministries. We have always broadcast the voice of the word of God as far as we could. And there may be better preachers. I'm sure there are. And there may be more educated preachers. I'm sure there are. I'm kind of country. But we have blasted this Bible across the globe with the few little dollars that we've had because God is with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Get this. Be content with such things as you have. Now, if you would realize what you have is God with you, it would be very easy to be content. See, the world may have their yachts, and they may have their cars, and they may have their billions of dollars. But I tell you what they don't have. They don't have the one who holds eternity in his hand. They don't have the Alpha and the Omega. They don't have the beginning and the end. Glory to God. They don't have the one that was dead and is alive again and said, I'm alive forevermore. They don't have him. But you and I, we have him and every promise. You know what he told Abraham? He said, I am your exceeding great reward. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you this parcel of land. Yeah, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the sky and as the sand. Yeah, I'm going to do all that. I just throw that in on you. I am your exceeding great reward. Glory to God. Yeah, he's with you and he's not going to leave. He's not going to leave no matter how bad you mess it up. He's with you. Glory to God. We think about Daniel being under the king. I believe it was it Darius? Was that the king in that days? I think it may have been Darius. Anyway, they made a law saying that ended up being against Daniel to cause him to have to go to the lion's den because he wouldn't stop praying. That's the kind of people we need. We need a people that says, I'm not going to stop praying. See, I don't know how they ever took prayer out of school. Because if I was in school, they didn't do it when I was in there. Of course, I wasn't saved anyway. But we need a people that say, well, I don't care what you say, governor. I'm not going to stop praying. They have a woman in somewhere in Europe. She goes in front of an abortion clinic, and she prays there, and they keep throwing her in jail. So she don't care. She just comes back out, and now she don't pray verbally, outwardly. She just stands there. And she just prays. Don't say a word. They picked her up and threw her in jail anyway. And finally, by the time they got out to court, they said, well, you can't do that. The woman ain't said a word. She is standing there. But yeah, you can't. Don't let nobody tell you you can't pray. You got a right to pray. Wherever that you are at, you can pray there. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean you can make a big verbal mess out of it, but you can talk to God. And if somebody says, well, you can't do that, you just tell them, well, he's my father, not yours. Praise God. And then you look at the Hebrew boys. Again, they stood before the king. I believe this one was Nebuchadnezzar. And the king was saying, I need you right now to bow down and worship my golden image that I put up in the plain. Bow down right now. And they wouldn't do it. The whole of Israel, which means the whole of the church, that's why you need to realize who the church really is. What Jews call see that is called the church, that's not the church. They said, well, everybody bow down, and everybody got on their knees and began to worship the image. And there was a lot of people, so the king didn't see the three Hebrew boys back there. Somebody told on them. Said, there are three little holy rollers back there. They're not bowing down. And the king called them forward and said, hey, you got to bow down right now, or we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace. And if you'll notice, those boys, they were so smooth. They did not get irate. They did not get disrespectful. They just said, oh, king, we are not bowing down to your image. They still treated him with the respect that a king gets. So the king was kind of on the spot. He's in front of all the people. He had to do something. So he threw the boys in the fire. And the king did a double take and said, what? Did we not throw three in the fire? But I see a fourth walking around, and he looks just like the Son of God. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ to show you and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I'll get in that fire with you. And them boys walked around in the fire. No burns. No pain. The Bible said when they finally got out, the king said, well, bring them out here. And the three Hebrew boys got out. The smell of smoke wasn't even on them. But I'll tell you what was on them. The king now feared them. The king feared them. And saints, we have to grow in our sense that God is with us. And I know the devil is forever saying, well, what if he don't move? Because see, God got a habit not moving when you want him to. You know, he got a habit that he don't move in the moment that you think that he should move. He waits, and that's where faith comes in, because it's like, oh my God, it looks like God's not going to move. But you gotta hold fast. You can't stagger in unbelief. And it goes even further. It looks like, oh my Lord. But God waits simply because omnipotence, all power, can afford to wait. They sent a message to Jesus one time. They said, Lazarus, the one whom you love, is sick, nigh unto death. And Jesus just waited. He didn't go back to Bethany. He went the other way. He just waited. Why? Because he knew, what do I care whether he dies or not? I'll just raise him from the dead. And in your situation, God will normally move in a way other than what you think he should move. Because you and I, we are finite, and he has infinite resources. He can do it anyway. Praise the name of the Lord. God is with you. Oh, I want to read one more scripture. I'm just going to read this. I'm not even going to preach it. Isaiah 41 and 10. This is the word of the Lord to you and I. Fear thou not, because I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing. They shall be as a thing of naught. Because I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. That leaves us then with the picture of God holding our right hand while he's telling you, fear not, I will help you. Praise the name of the Lord. He's with you. He is with you this morning. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you for the exceeding great and precious promises. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you are our shield and our buckler. You are our refuge, our light and our salvation. It is all you, and that you brought us in union with yourself. Lord, we thank you this morning. We worship you. Help us, Lord, to remember daily, Lord, in the time of failure, in the time of trouble, in the times that our hearts are broken, that the Lord has not cast us off, that you've committed yourself to us, that you will not leave us nor forsake us, that you'll be with us always, even to the end of the world. Father, we thank you this morning. Come on, would you stand to your feet and let's just give thanks to God this morning. Come on, let's just give him thanks this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've promised that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a commitment, that you'll walk with us, that you'll hold our trembling hand, and that you'll cause us, Lord, to walk not in fear, but in courage. We thank you, Lord, that this was in your heart to do for a people that are not strong. But, Lord, you are our strength. Come on, just tell him thank you all across the room this morning. Just tell him thank you this morning.
Father, we just thank you right now for allowing us not to have to live in fear, for allowing us to have the knowledge of knowing that you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen. Again, we thank God for the word that he sent on today. We thank God, praise God, for all of you that are here in the house. Those of you who are tuned in by webcast, we appreciate you being with us today. And as we close, I just have a couple of quick announcements. One, thank you for everybody who came out to support the prayer set. And we just had a good time in the Lord, and we just appreciate everybody who had an opportunity to be part of that. Also, I want to encourage you, if you have not had a chance to give, to go ahead and help us to continue to take God's word out to the world, because there's so many people that do not have what we have right here. And so your giving allows us to continue to do the great commission that God has called us to do, which is go ye into all the world. And we appreciate all those who support the ministry. We thank you both in-house and those of you on the webcast. Amen. Praise God. So as we close, I want to encourage you this morning. As we depart this place, shake hands with somebody you don't know. I was going to say hug a neck, but maybe not. But shake hands at least. Greet somebody that you don't know and let them know that you appreciate them being out with us today. Amen. Praise God. You're dismissed.